As one of America's largest financial services companies, Nationwide supports financial professionals with client-friendly resources and innovative solutions to help create greater retirement security for their clients. Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Welcome to the Bloomberg Surveillance Podcast. I'm Tom Keene, along with Jonathan Farrell and Lisa Abramowitz. Daily, we bring you insight from the best in economics, finance, investment, and international relations. Find Bloomberg Surveillance on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Bloomberg.com, and of course, on the Bloomberg Terminal. There is a single sentence from Hollenhorst and from Nathan Sheets, global chief economist at Citigroup, also is public service to the United States Treasury, and Nathan Sheets joins us right now. Nathan, there's that single line of global GDP in 2023. It is well below the typical 3% level. How bad is the global recession of next year?
The global economy, as you say, Tom, is looking very soft at the moment. In aggregate, our projection is 2% global growth. If you take out our relatively bullish expectation for China, we see global growth at less than 1% next year, which is right on the border of what's been traditionally associated with a global recession. Now, looking at a little bit more at the details, we see early next year a fairly severe downturn in Europe, including both the euro area and the UK. And then as the year progresses, the monetary tightening in the United States leads to a recession during the second half of the year here as well. So pretty tough outlook, challenging in a lot of different respects. And that's coupled with an inflation outlook that remains very concerning.
Nathan, financial conditions have eased. With the backdrop you're talking about, financial conditions have started to ease. And that's because a lot of people are thinking about the Federal Reserve backing away from the pace of hikes, go from 75 maybe down to 50, the size down to 25. Nathan, what do you make of that conversation?
I think the Fed has struggled in its communication. It has set up, at least implicitly, a syllogism that if we are serious about inflation, then we go 75 basis points. And when rates are low, it makes sense to have that syllogism. But once you move to 3%, and in November, they'll be at 375, as you move higher, you've got to start casting your determination and framing your determination to fight inflation in different ways. Specifically, the Fed can say we've moved substantially, and that reflects our commitment. And if you don't believe that we're committed, just watch what we're going to do. So I do think they're in a tough situation where they've got to pivot. They can't take rates up at 75 basis points rate indefinitely. And the markets are interpreting that as the Fed kind of pivoting off inflation determination, which I think is a misinterpretation of where they are.
I'm looking right now at some of the GDP components. Michael McKee was breaking them down, and we saw housing. He mentioned housing, and he just clarified that residential investment subtracted 1.37% from GDP. This is a quickly moving story. Under the hood, how much are other inflationary components offsetting some of these disinflationary moves that we're seeing in the housing market, that we're seeing in retail, that we're seeing in used car prices, that you could see on the margins around the economy?
Very clearly, we are now in a dynamic of disinflation in terms of goods prices. That is clearly happening. We expect that it's going to come off quite sharply in coming months. Similarly, the shelter prices are persistent the way they're calculated in the indexes, But when we're getting these monster declines in residential investment, that's pointing to a very soft housing market. But where the heart of inflationary pressures remains is in the non-shelter services. And that is tied to the hot labor market, rising wages, and rising services inflation. That is what the Fed's worried about. And that's what the Fed is targeting here effectively, is they've got to see a more contained numbers in terms of non-shelter services price inflation. And that may yet take a while.
I look, Nathan, at how we're going to recalibrate. We're going to recalibrate off this press conference. John, what, in 4 minutes?
Something like that.
We're going to recalibrate November 2nd. Frame the Citigroup look for next year. I'm going back to your stunning global GDP call of 2% next year. What is your year opening report going to look like? Give us a heads up.
So what we're seeing at the moment, and it's looking pretty durable in my mind, we're calling next year rolling recessions in the global economy. We're going to see various countries turn down. The vast majority of GDP will see a downturn. That would particularly be accentuated and exacerbated if the Chinese economy ends up being somewhat softer. And instead of the 5.5% we're forecasting, if it's more like this year at 3.5. And so you've got this on the growth side. And then you also have central banks that are going to have to, early in the year, continue to hike. And as the year rolls on, our expectation is hold those rates at high levels. So next year is going to be a challenging year. I'm kind of already turning the page to 2024.
There you go.
Skipping 23 already.
Skip 20. Yeah, that sounds exactly. So much like Nathan. That's what we need from a former government official.
Yeah.
Dr. Sheets, that was brilliant.
Nathan Sheets of City. Nathan, thank you.
Inflation, market volatility, economic insecurity. Who isn't looking for greater retirement security these days? As one of America's largest financial services companies, Nationwide helps millions of people invest in their financial futures. With client-friendly resources and innovative solutions, Nationwide supports financial professionals so they can help clients feel more confident in their retirement years. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
This is a joy now. We're going to wrap this into international economics. We do this with Christine Lagarde, an extended press conference, managing the message for the ECB. Carl Weinberg joins us now, High Frequency Economics. Carl, I've got to go to EM. I looked at a Columbia, the nation, bond the other day, and it has enjoyed going from 98 to 63. How big is the tension right now in EM due to Fed policy and a strong dollar?
Hi, good morning, Tom. Well, historically, this would be a classic squeeze with the Fed hiking rates and raising borrowing costs, with commodity prices for countries that import commodities first going up and impairing their balance of payments and their flow of dollars coming in, and then now with prices going down for countries that export them facing the same kind of squeeze. The bottom line is that most of the debt that's out there is either at the World Bank with very fixed rates or with China, where the rates are in yuan and not in U.S. dollars. China is now the largest lender to emerging markets after the World Bank, more than the United States, more than Europe. So to the extent that most of the debt is locked into loans to China, and the lenders in China are national banks, China Development Bank and China Export Development Bank, I don't really think that we're looking at a crisis as we saw back in the 1970s coming out of all of this. Some stress, yes, but crisis, no.
Carl, we had a raft of economic data out this morning. I'm looking at ECO, Eco Go on the Bloomberg Terminal. Let's just start with the top line, the GDP. 2.6%, you know, it's better than expected. It's obviously better than the first two quarters of the year. How do I think about that number in context of the drumbeat of recession calls out there? How should we think about that?
Well, you know, the overshoot from expectations was only 0.2%, which is not exactly a big surprise. It was a teeny-weeny little surprise. And looking at the components, there are signs of weakness within the components. But, you know, just because we're not in recession now doesn't mean we're not going into a recession. That would be the first observation to make. And all the indicators are on the table, all the factors are on the table that suggest that the U.S. economy will at least slow, if not contract, in the quarters ahead from where we are right now. For the markets, what matters is how this influences central bank policy. And our view at High Frequency Economics would be not at all. The Fed is going to be looking at the inflation numbers, and it's going to be a turn in inflation that's going to bring about a turn in Fed policy.
Yeah.
And we're not quite there yet.
Okay, we're not quite there. But, you know, I could play off the Chris Lowe note of put published moments ago. We are seeing a little bit of a turn. Do we see quite there yet with the November CPI report, or does it even wait distant out from there?
Well, it's a tough call for
economists. I agree.
Economists, as you know, aren't very good at all of this. What we do see is that prices of some things are actually going down, in particular, industrial commodities. Oil, now $90 a barrel as compared to $130 a barrel 6 months ago. Right? Aluminum, copper, nickel, all these industrial commodities are headed down in price. Used car prices headed down in price. You know, the things that went
housing
up are now starting to adjust the other way. Housing going down, thank you for reminding me, down in price as well as down in volume. You know, these are the signs of weakening demand. So we're going to be looking to see, you know, what we learned in 2007, 2008 is that prices can turn very quickly. In 6 months, inflation went from 4% to negative in the U.S. based on...
So how does the Fed filter... Carl, that's brilliant. How does the Fed filter that in... You know, they put their pants on one leg at a time.
That's what I
Thank
guess.
You. But how do they filter what you just said about our collective study of the 50s and 2007 into this parlor game of what the Fed's going to do with rates?
Well, Tom, you once gave a lecture to my class at NYU where you discussed the difference between type 1 and type 2 errors in the market and at the central bank. And what you pointed out very, very presciently is that the central bank's job is to avoid the worst possible outcome at all costs. And the worst possible outcome would be runaway inflation. So they're going to act keeping things tight and maybe even tightening until
right.
they see that the worst possible outcome has been avoided. The market's job is to avoid missing the best possible outcome, and that gives them a different set of parameters to work on. And that's maybe why we see the divergence between market expectations and what the Fed's actually telling us.
Well, Dr. Weinberg speaks of their folks as massive jargon, but foundational to not losing money, which is an understanding of statistical type 1. It's Roman numeral 1, type 2, Roman numeral 2, mm-hmm. eyes 2.
Yep.
And it's used differently, Paul, across economics, finance, investment, and also across social policy. And so you got to be very careful about the interpretation of it. But basically, as Dr. Weinberg says there, it's a Fed riveted on avoiding the worst outcome,
yep.
which in their case is name the history of Fed screwing up, central bank screwing up. That's yep. their number one focal point.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, speaking of losing money, Meta stock is down 24%.
Carl Weinberg's
this
got
morning.
Like 5,000 shares in
exactly,
that.
Exactly, 52 week low. So, Carl, I mean, you take a look at some of these companies that are talking about slowing advertising demand, like Meta, like Google. There are so many, as you point out, there are so many signs out there that this economy is in fact cooling. Does that not give the Fed an opportunity to say, we're done or pretty close to being done here?
Well, are they sure that they're done? That's the question. And by the way, Paul, don't forget to mention all the companies that have said they've stopped hiring
yep.
or that they're actively reducing headcount. Right? The writing's on the wall. Now, households may still have some cash left over from pandemic-level subsidies and so forth, but their savings are going down. They're turning more and more to credit card debt. That can't go on forever. and their real incomes are falling, and that means eventually their spending is going to have to come down. I can't tell you whether that's going to be this quarter or next quarter or the quarter after, but the writing is on the wall.
Yep.
Right, a year from now, the U.S. economy almost certainly will have contracted by one or maybe even two quarters, and price increases will be lower than they are today. That's our forecast at High Frequency Economics. But which quarter that's going to be, we don't really have a confident forecast on where that's going to happen.
Carl Weinberg, thank you so much. Greatly appreciate it there with High Frequency Economics. Right now, also behind us is Greg Valliere with the must-read note from AGF Investments, and he joins us this morning. Greg, I said to them, I said, get somebody who remembers driving by the GE factory in Schenectady, New York, on your way past Utica. There's only one guy we know that remembers Jack Welch's Schenectady, New York. It's gone. Greg, maybe it's the Uticas of America. They're going to go to Syracuse today. Dr. Biden went to Providence as well. Can the Democrats garner votes in the many Utica, New Yorks of America?
Well, ironically, it looks like Democrats who have been entrenched in New England are in trouble. So no, I think we're seeing a total reversal. We're seeing Hispanic voters leave the Democratic Party, go into Republicans. We're seeing a lot of changes from the old rules.
And Lisa, what I think is so important here is this just simple idea of the panic 2 weeks into the election. And what we're going to see day to day here is going to be extraordinary.
Well, and if you look at some of the betting odds, you can see that the Democrats are just dramatically losing seats. And there's a question of how bad of a whopping they're going to take in both the House and the Senate. Greg, from with respect to which races you're watching, what's going to be most telling to you in terms of not just whether the Democrats lose power, but by how much?
Yeah, I'm at 17 in the House, and I'm probably on the low side. I might have to revise my final forecast and put it up into the 20s. So many interesting dynamics in this election. Polls show that crime has surged is a big issue. Polls show that abortion is not as big an issue as we thought it might be. Polls also show Hispanic voters are moving to the Republicans. Really interesting stuff. And I do think there's going to be a wicked, wicked postmortem among the Democrats trying to figure out just what happened.
And not to be conspiracy theorist, but I have to go to this because there have been some rumblings around the edges. How concerned are you about election security at a time when it's clear that there are a number of international actors, as well as domestic ones, that want to raise doubts about the institution of the United States?
It's a legitimate fear. There was a break-in yesterday. We don't know the details, so we can't really speculate. But I have a hunch that's probably not the only incident we'll have in the next 2 weeks like that.
Right.
Charges of ballot box stuffing, you know, all of that stuff.
Greg, a real focus on the Democrats here. Let's focus on the GOP right now. How grand old party is the GOP 2 weeks out?
Well, they've got an internal debate to resolve, and that is how much money do we give Ukraine? Kevin McCarthy has had to walk back what he said. I think most Republicans want to continue the funding.
Right.
I would make... Mm-hmm.
Please, go ahead. I'm sorry. Please.
I'd make this point, Tom. I think one of the sleeper issues, and it involves China, it involves Ukraine, it involves Iran, is a dramatic increase in defense spending. I think we go to $800 billion in this new fiscal year.
Are Democrats and Republicans on board with that jointly, as we see them both jointly with a view on China?
One of the rare issues where you could see a compromise. I think there's unified antipathy in Washington toward China for all of the things that they've done, with whether it's COVID or treatment of dissidents.
Greg, let's say that the Republicans do win both the House and the Senate. What are they going to do with the Fed when they are hiking rates? How much are they going to start pushing back against pretty aggressive tightening in some of the monetary policies simply because it's going to create some real problems for this economy?
Fearless forecast, Lisa. I think we're going to start to see the Fed really come under intense criticism. We saw yesterday Sherrod Brown, the Democrat from Ohio, with a pretty harsh letter. And we see people in the markets, whether it's Jeremy Siegel or Jim Paulson, there are a lot of highly regarded people who feel the Fed has overdone it. I think that criticism is going to increase.
Great to catch up, Greg. Just awesome. No doubt we'll speak to you, touch base again before the midterms. Greg Valliere of AGF Investments.
This is the Bloomberg Surveillance Podcast. Thanks for listening. Join us live weekdays from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio and on Bloomberg Television each day from 6 to 9 a.m. for insight from the best in economics, finance, investment, and international relations, and subscribe to the Surveillance Podcast on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Bloomberg.com, and of course, on the Terminal. I'm Tom Keene, and this is Bloomberg.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Attention campers, the new Camp Snoopy at Kings Island brings your family summer camp fun all season long. Head to Camp Snoopy with Charlie Brown and the whole Peanuts gang for fun and adventure. Race forwards and backwards on the new family boomerang coaster, Snoopy Soapbox Racers. Explore on your own with more space to roam at Beagle Scout Acres. And don't forget to grab a snack at Pigpen's Mess Hall. It's a new way to play with the Peanuts gang at Camp Snoopy. Now open, only at Kings Island, for the fun of it.